Blog Talk Radio.
The path of the purified heart is a path of resonance. The needy heart searches to assuage its emptiness, but the heart that is self-fulfilled follows that which inspires and resonates. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Bhavaspatah World Radio. Thank you for joining us again this week. I am Denise and joined by our beautiful sister, Milou. Hello, Milou.
Hello, Denise.
And tonight, we had a beautiful email that we wanted to share from one of our sisters, Donna Rhodes in Red Deer, Alberta, had written in to us, and we welcome your emails and comments, and we, you know, if you would like to join us on the show, we would love to have you. As a guest, but Donna wrote in after the Cornish Bhavaspatah show, which Milou and I did, I guess, is it about a month ago, Milou?
Yes.
Yeah.
When we did the first show,
I believe.
The first level? Yes.
Mm-hmm. So Donna wrote us a beautiful email, and I'll just read it here because it was so lovely. So she says, I can't thank you, goddesses, enough for your radio shows on the Connish. After struggling with this for years, her friend Linda had tried several times to help her get going on this, but she wasn't getting it. So she said, with your guidance, I am finally doing Connish and loving it, all because of you too. Donna says she had broken down all the files, meaning that each level she'd broken down into a PDF of the opening and closing. And actually, it's quite remarkable what she did. She's made 5 files for each of the levels, and also she's taken the written portion from the book and made PDFs to go with each level, which she's brilliant, I have to say. And she also commented about, you know, just hearing how the angel's name is sound, like the pronunciation of the angel name and the sigil. And what she does is she reads along as she listens to the recording. So Donna has very graciously offered for all of our listeners, if you know, you feel you would like to have a copy of the 5 individuated PDFs of the Connish Bhava Fata and the 5 broken separated audios for each level, you know, you can just email us, myself or Malou, and we will be happy to forward those along. It is a large file, so it might take a little bit, but yeah, Donna wanted to offer that for all our listeners, which it's amazing because, you know, I don't know, Malou, if I know you're so busy and a lot going on, and sometimes, you know, it's hard to find a time just to sit and do all 5 levels. Mm-hmm. So, you know, even to be able to play the Connish Bhavasvata, you know, have it playing on the computer sometimes, mm-hmm. I think is wonderful, just to have that frequency in your environment.
Yeah.
So it's a great way. So we thank you, Donna. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Donna.
Yeah, we're so grateful.
Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah. So
you've done really beautiful work.
Isn't it? Oh, yes, my God. It, and it's like so wonderful. She's cut out all the talk, you know, the excess words, and it's just the, you know, you opening the session and then each of us calling the angels and the sigils and then closing the session. So it's very beautiful. Mm-hmm. Really nice. So thank you, Donna. We appreciate that, and we offer it on Donna's behalf to anybody who would like to receive that. So just email us, denise@almeen.info or malou@almeen.info, and we'd be happy to pass that along. So, wonderful. And then we wanted to share, recently, Malou, you had posted a beautiful writing on Facebook, and I found this very profound and wonderful, and I thought it would be awesome to share with our listeners,
mm-hmm.
that piece that you wrote.
Sure. It's about Bhavasvata. Let me just... about initiations, because some people have asked about initiations, you know, how does it work and things like that, and why is it even important, why do we have to be initiated and things like that. So I wrote a piece on that in the Roots and Wings group.
Lovely.
Which is a group that a few of us have created as a place to sort of share artwork and inspirations and things like that regarding our summer solstice retreat in Greece.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the sort of the context. So I'll just read it.
Lovely.
Some people have asked about Belvaspatar initiations, like why does one have to be initiated? Here is Almin's answer. Initiations are very important for the use of Belvaspatar, the work that is done by the initiate to prepare for receiving each level of initiation increases their receptivity for the initiation because it raises their frequency. The initiations themselves raise the frequency of the initiate, and each level of initiation results in higher and higher frequency. Also, the more we work with the angels of Belvaspatar, the more they become integrated within us. When Belvaspatar is used without receiving initiation, it releases toxins from the kidneys and liver and creates very strong hostile emotions. Secondly, it creates chaos within your environment because the vehicle that Belvaspatar frequencies are moving through, namely you, has not been prepared for the strength of them. So so that's why it's very important to be initiated.
That's wonderful because I was thrilled to read that, you know, and I thank you for posting it because, you know, after being doing Belvaspatar for, you know, so many years, you kind of forget those little details.
Yeah, exactly.
So for somebody new coming or new to Belvaspatar, that's, you know, it's a wonderful, mm-hmm. important.
Yes, it is.
Piece to share, yeah.
So also to be reminded that the frequencies of the sigils and the power of the angels is so strong and the frequency is so high, so if you're not prepared, your body's not prepared, you know, it's going to be a mismatch somehow because it's an alchemical equation, you know, yourself,
mm-hmm.
the sigils and the angels. So it's a three-legged stool kind of thing. And if you're the weaker leg, it's going to break. It's not going to hold that that space for healing for the client, right?
Yeah, it's true. And have you seen people spin out, Malu, when maybe if they're not ready or they haven't done all the work?
No, I haven't.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't, in fact. I've only seen people bliss out. Sorry. Because it was just such a profound, beautiful experience for them. Some people, they just start crying because it's so emotional and it's so very heart-opening. And some, you know, they see the angels, some sense them, some can just feel them, you know, or smell them even. And as a giver or as the practitioner giving the initiation, it feels the same. I mean, it's very special. It's very the energy is very different from a regular Belvaspatar session, I find. You know, it's just different.
Yeah.
So it's just another Belvaspatar session. It's initiation, which is a totally different experience.
You're right. Yeah, it does feel, the initiation does feel very different than the regular Belvaspatar session, for sure. I agree with that. And, you know, sometimes I think, like, anytime really I've done initiations has been at a retreat with Almin, so I don't know if that's part of it or it's, you know, being in a group, but it definitely is.
It is different.
Different, yeah.
Should I continue with?
Yes, please, yes.
Yeah. Okay, so I wrote, you can be initiated by doing it yourself, following specific guidelines and in collaboration with a mentor. Needs to be a Belvaspatar master or grandmaster. You know, and a master and a grandmaster can initiate someone else up to their own level. So a master can initiate up to master level, which is, level one and two, right? And then the grandmaster can initiate master and grandmaster.
Yeah.
Okay. Or you can receive it in person. Long distance is not possible. And I know a lot of people wonder about that because we can do long distance regular sessions, but this is not possible for initiations. We are delighted to initiate you in person during this retreat. This will be offered for free as part of the retreat. It requires some preparatory work. But if you want to become a Bhavasthita healer, this is a great way of doing it, and we will send you links to the relevant material that you will need to study and integrate beforehand. There are four levels of Bhavasthita, level 1 and 2, and Master and Grandmaster. The initiations will be done according to your current level, meaning that if you are new to Bhavasthita, you will receive level 1 and 2. And if you are already initiated into those levels, and it's been minimum 3 months since your initiation at the time of the retreat, you can receive Master and Grandmaster level. Giving and receiving initiations are a most delightful and profound experience for most people. I sometimes internalize the 12 pair of pure emotions just because I love it and it takes me to a deeper level each time. So preparatory work does need to be a one-time thing or an experience reserved healers to be. Anyone can benefit. So.
Wow. That's really good, Malu. That's very well written. Thank you.
Thank you.
I do. I think it's very informative and helpful. And, you know, I love that you say sometimes you just integrate the 12 pairs of emotions because, you know, I mean, we have talked about this on the previous show, but, you know, sometimes it is a great way just to shift.
Yeah.
You know, if you're going through something, just pulsing the 12 pairs of pure emotions is amazing.
It is.
Yeah.
It is, in fact.
Yeah.
And also because emotion, like Amin has said so many times, emotion yields perception and perception yields emotions.
Yeah.
And so, like you said, if you go through something, And you do this meditation, there's a special meditation. You can also just, you know, pause them if you know what they are. But there's a meditation where Elmin guides you through them. And I just find that, you know, the more I do this and the more I because there's a deeper level each time, you can always go deeper into a certain emotion, through emotions. I can see things differently afterwards.
Yeah.
Perception just shifts. Right? And the deeper you can feel, the clearer you can see.
Oh, I like that. You should write that down. That's good. Yeah, it's true, though. That's really good.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. So, and, you know, I have to say, Malu, that is a wonderful gift that you're offering during this retreat, like you and the other masters that you're working with, because these initiations, like if you're, you know, just going to contact a Bhavasthita master, there it's, you know, a lot of money that's, you know, it can be expensive. worth every single penny. It really is, the information is priceless and the experience. But that's a beautiful gift that you're offering during the retreat.
Yes, it's a beautiful experience, and it's sort of part of a retreat. You know, we find, because we are going to talk about and teach Bhavasthita and talk about that and experience it and things like that. So, yeah. So if anybody wants to, you know, to become a Bhavasthita healer, it's a really nice way to do it.
Yeah.
Because, like I said, if you have to, you can do it by yourself, but you would have to have a mentor that needs to check. You have to do some writing in the infinite language.
Yeah.
That needs to be checked by the mentor, and things like that. So there are different guidelines you have to follow. You don't have to do that when you receive the initiation in person. Plus, the experience of it is just completely different.
Yeah.
I did my first initiation myself.
Yeah.
You know, 1 and 2, I did it, which was a great experience. But then I did it again at at the retreat, which was a whole different experience again. So, I would recommend it in person anytime.
Yeah. Me too. Just, you know, the whole alchemy of it and connecting. I don't know, it just feels so much more powerful when, you know, there's that interaction But that's it. I didn't know that you had initiated yourself and then got initiated again. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I was asked. I said, well, I sort of did because I, you know, at the retreat, I said, well, why don't we just do them all again this year? And we asked Almeen, and she said, that's perfect.
Yeah.
Go ahead and do that. So that was wonderful. So, and you know, you don't have to, you know, have a, you know, a vision about working with Baba's Bata as a profession or anything. You can just use it or do it as part of your own spiritual development or personal development, or just raising your own frequency in order to manifest more beautiful things in your life, or heal yourself, you know, or your family or your children. There are a few modalities where you don't have to be initiated, but most of the Baba's Bata protocols, you have to be initiated.
Yeah. So, at least into
level one or two.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, but that's good that you said that too, because some people probably think, oh, you know, I'm not a healer, I don't do healing work, but, you know, they're into the metaphysics, or, you know, just into, you know, enlightenment, and it's still amazing for someone who's,
Because you get connected to the cosmos, and well, depending on what level you get initiated into, but you get connected to your soul group anyway, which is a really nice thing, I think, you know, and get connected with the angels. You get a deeper understanding, I feel, also, and a deeper connection with the angels.
Yeah.
So if you like angels, if you're into that, Baba's Bata is a great thing because it's all angels.
Yeah.
And light language. So,
And even if you're not into angels, just being connected with the light and the frequency from the sigils is incredible.
Yes.
Yeah. So, wow! Thank you, Malu. I'm so grateful that you shared that. So, do you what else would you share for initiates? Do you like show them how to draw the sigils, or what would be how to start a session?
Do you do it on the retreat? What if I do it?
Yeah, both. If you were doing it on the retreat, or if you're doing it for your clients.
Oh, if I was doing it for a client who wants up, then I would, you know, show them how to draw the sigils and how to pronounce the names of the angels and of the sigils and things like that. Yeah. And also in what order and things like that. Because in the beginning it can be quite confusing, even though it you know, there's the Baba's Bata books. You know, you have to, or I had to read it quite a few times just to understand, okay, so how am I actually going to do this? So sometimes it's easier to be shown, you know, this is how you do it. So you can get a visual of it. So I do that, and I'm sure we'll do that at the retreat as well.
Good.
People who are interested, so they can get going with it and can get started right away.
Yeah.
If they wish to do so, you know.
Yeah.
Just doing Baba's Bata for yourself is just amazing. It's amazing.
Oh, honestly, it's
like that?
Miraculous. Yes. Definitely. What's your favorite modality, Malu? Do you have a favorite?
I do.
Which one?
Well, like, I don't know. They're all wonderful.
Yeah.
But it just seems like Karnish Baba's Bata, I keep going back to that.
Yeah.
No, I just love it. I really do.
Me too.
Like Brahmish and Anu as well, but Karnish is just really profound for me. Well, the others are too. It's just, maybe it's also because I've done it quite a few times, so I sort of memorized it. No, memorize is not a good word, but my fingers already, I mean, I already know the sigils, and they're within me, so it's sort of very easy for me.
Yes.
I don't have to concentrate, you know, or to look at it very much. Of course I look at it, but it's more like I always know this sigil and I feel it within me, and I can sort of see it clairvoyantly, and I can see it moving, I can see my finger moving, you know, like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I have been thinking, actually, now, you know, now that we're talking about it, is this like because I've practiced this more, or just because it's different? And maybe it's a combination of both, because I think I would feel the same with the others had I done them as much.
I think definitely it's probably both.
But sometimes I sort of ask, you know, what modality should I use now? Because there doesn't have to be a problem present or anything to do Bhavaspata, you know. So sometimes I just do it, just, and then I will ask, you know, my guidance of the angels, okay, so which one should I pick? You know, which one would be most in alignment with you know, my highest good at this point, and the highest good of everyone and the cosmos and life. What would life, how would life benefit most? Which one should I pick? So,
I do that. Sorry, I'm hearing an echo, so it's a little strange.
Oh.
I don't know if it's me or what it is, but.
Which one is your favorite? Do you have one?
I think it's the Kanish, for sure, yeah. But, you know, you're right. I do the same thing. Like, before a client comes, I sit and, you know, like, what's, you know, which one will benefit them the most. If it's somebody new for the first time, nine out of 10 times, I do, like, of course, level one, open up, and usually the brain sigils I find are, I've had incredible success with, for, you know, just clearing the clutter and from the mind and getting them into a receptive state. Mm-hmm. So usually I find myself just going to that. But then, you know, for someone coming back for a second time, then, you know, mm-hmm. it might be something different.
So do you, the general Bhavaspata for the first time visitors? just because it's more addressed, I mean, it's more addressed, how do you say, the physical?
Yes.
Yeah, it's more for the physical.
Yeah.
And for some reason, I find that also, like you said, it gets people to expand more and to open more. So I like to do that first before I move on to the other ones. And I think actually also Amin recommended that we do the physical, I mean the general Bhavaspata first, and then perhaps move on to the emotional.
Yeah, to the other ones.
Arabesh Bisu Straunat.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then Bhavaspata oneness and then Kanish.
But, like for the Kanish, honestly, I've done it a lot. It's the same as yourself. I've practiced it a great deal. But I've never actually, maybe one or two, but not very much, that I've actually practiced it on a person, I don't think. Like just once or twice, not like the other ones. You know, like song itself is, I find that amazing for people too. I love that one.
Yes.
Yeah.
I do too. And then I use the fragrances also.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. With the Bhavaspata of oneness, you mean?
No, not specific. With all of them, you know, I like to, you know, anoint people just with maybe just one oil, maybe a few oils.
Yeah.
Before I start and I can feel the angels coming in. It just feels stronger somehow, and they have a different experience when they have oils also. It's not the whole protocol for the meridians, for example. Or I have done the rose oil for the birth trauma protocol.
Yeah.
Which was very powerful for the client.
Yeah.
But sometimes it can also just be just a little oil on the wrist or under the nose or something, just to get them to remember home, to to get in touch with their own feelings, to relax and release.
Yeah, I do find that too. The fragrance alchemy oils, they really do enhance the session. Yeah,
they do.
Yeah, I've usually, you know, if they're just new and I don't really know them too well, I'll probably I'm more likely to put it on their feet or the crown of the head. I put a little bit, but I find most people love the oils and go crazy for them.
Yes, they do.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, so, but I know you've been working with angels for a long time, right? Do you notice, like, there's a big difference with the Bhavaspata angels, and we say angels that you would call in your, you know, for everyday assistance kind of thing?
Yes, well, I don't call any other angels Well, I call in angel gods also, but I don't connect with, that's not entirely true, but when I call in angels, it's Bhavaspata angels, or sometimes also the Atlantean or Lemurian angels, but I have a hard time sometimes discerning what is what, who's who. You know, I can just feel the angelic presence, but I don't always get a name.
Right.
Sometimes I get a name, but if you mean compared to before, I met Almin and started this journey.
Yeah.
The angels were different. It was, you know, what you learn in the New Age community and things like that. So I did get to know a few different entities or angelic beings.
Mm-hmm.
What they felt like to me as angelic beings.
Yeah.
But it's totally different than now. It's a different, completely different league.
Yeah, completely.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've loved working with the angel gods. And I mean, the angels above us, that I feel like are my friends. You know,
yes.
I'm like totally one with them. I feel that. But the angel gods feel to me, I don't want to say so much more powerful, but it's almost, that's how it feels. Like they're very powerful, and if I call on them for assistance with something specific, it's like instant. Which is quite, you know, like, I'm not saying, I'm not asking them to help me find a parking spot or something like that. It's more like, you know, I want, you know, clarity on a specific, you know, or I'm trying to gain a specific perspective or shift a perspective or, you know, something. And, you know, or I'm looking for an answer to something, it's like right there. So I'm loving that.
Did you work with other angels before you started this journey?
Before Almin? Yes, I did. I've always had a connection with angels. Like from the time I was very little, like I was listening to Joanne Harding when she was talking on our last week's show about growing up and you know, being connected with the fairies and, you know, all the little beings and angels. And, I really did. I had all that, it was very, it was magical. It was a lot of fun. Like, I used to play these silly little games, you know, where I say, just to test my, I guess, now I'm thinking it was, you know, to test my clairvoyance or psychic abilities or whatever, but, you know, I'd make up these little games that were fun, and I had a...
such
It'd be something like, you know, oh, if I can run to the shop before the bus gets to the, you know, the end of the road, this and this and this is going to happen, because
mm-hmm.
it was almost like a confirmation. Okay, I know this is going to happen. So now let's test it.
Yes.
So I play all these silly little games, but it was, you know, it was fun. And yeah, it was. But then, you know, growing up, you kind of, it gets shut down somewhat.
No,
it's never really shut down. But
no,
we
no.
go into
the most people it shuts down, you know.
Yeah.
That's 4, 5, 6. Okay. Well, how do you feel about guardian angels? Or
well,
a guardian angel?
From, my perspective now, of course, you know, I do think there are guardian angels for people, but I don't see them the way I did before, I mean. You know, like, they're just a different realm than what we're working with now.
What do you mean by that? They're in a different realm, or...?
I feel like they're at a different, that's what I would say. They're in a different realm than the angels we're working with now.
Okay.
What I feel, yeah.
Okay, so a Belmas Bata angel cannot be a guardian angel, right? Guardian angels are angels that are assigned to people, right?
Yes.
Yes, but I remember on Meanset, because it's a very common thing, or I mean, many people believe and think and hope anyway, that everyone has a guardian angel.
Yeah.
Since birth and or since, you know, their existence started,
mm-hmm.
maybe eons ago. And Almin said that this is not true, in fact. The angels have told her that people have guides and guardian spirits or angels, but it's not necessarily an angel. It can also be a very it can be a spirit, you know, or another light being.
Mm-hmm.
So not everyone has an angel, in fact.
Yeah, not everyone is assigned an angel at birth.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I suppose everyone has.
But we all have access to them and the ability to connect with them, or
yes.
you know,
yes.
communicate with them.
Yes.
You know.
And angels, they're attracted by, or they resonate with the high frequencies of love and passion and joy and trust and gratitude and things like that. So when we cultivate that within ourselves, we automatically put ourselves in that frequency range,
yeah.
where angels exist,
mm-hmm.
and so we can attract them and communicate them with them.
Yeah.
You know, when we cultivate that within ourselves,
yeah,
it will be attracted into our field when we vibrate at those levels.
Yeah.
So,
and we can ask for an angel to be assigned to a loved one, like a child, or, you know, a loved one that we're worried about, or who's maybe going through something, or we feel it's, you know, a sense of danger for them. We can ask for an angel to be assigned to assist
yeah.
them.
Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah. But, you know, the wonderful thing with the angels from Belfast Bata is having their name and the sigil. It's, you know, it's like a guarantee they're going to show up and assist, right?
Yeah.
So,
because we can't know 100% sure if we don't have their sigil or their name, and we just call an angel, you know, we might just happen to draw in the, you know, sort of a random angel that just happens to pass by, and they might not even be the expert on this specific problem. And so we cannot be sure to get the highest or best help or assistance in that situation. So I think that's pretty interesting. You know,
yeah.
if we don't call a specific angel, we'll just call someone. And that would be another one, you know, that's even more good for the job, because they will help us. They want to assist us and help us.
Yeah.
So what I have done, if I don't have the sigil or the name, and I just want to call an angel, I call an angel, and usually a Belva Spitzer angel, or I call the overall angel and ask him or her to send me an angel that is best fitted for this task. And I do it with the utmost humility and gratitude, but because that's, you know, because I remember the name of the overall angel, and I ask her to, you know, to send me one of the angels that can help me best. So this is a good way to do it. So, and I often do it with my little boy, because then he hurts somewhere, you know. Then he, my arm or my foot or my something, stomach or something. Can you please call the angels? And I do. And he obviously knows the name of a few of them.
Yeah.
Are you sure they help me while I sleep? So I'm very, very sure.
And
they do, and you can feel their presence sometimes.
Yeah, for sure. I do that too. I'll call Kalekno Develovish Fita, and I'll say, you know, please bring forward an angel to assist with, as you say, whatever the issue is. And I say thank you, you know. Because the angels like to be acknowledged, just like the rest of us.
Yes.
Which is,
All life has to be acknowledged and appreciated, or we're with her.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, the same with the fairies and the little nature beings, the little
plants. And plants, you know, like people with, I don't know if you have that saying in English, but in Danish anyway, we have the saying that some people have green fingers, meaning that they're good, they're very skilled or good, or, you know, at taking care of plants. Because, you know, like maybe also older people, they, you know, they talk to their plants, and, you know, they give them this love and attention, and they just thrive on love and attention.
That's funny, Malou. We say green thumbs here.
Green thumbs?
Thumbs.
Oh, green thumbs. Okay.
Yeah, green thumbs.
Okay. That's almost the same.
yeah, it is. But what's funny is my sister in Ireland, she always says, Denise, you are the grim reaper of plants. I love them so much. They just...
Yeah,
they wither. I know. But it's not true anymore. Now they don't. They don't decease.
Oh, that's true. But, did you take the interdimensional course, by the way?
Yes. Oh, my gosh. One of my favorites.
I love that. And I remember one of the exercises in it was to contact a plant. And I have I don't know what that, it's sort of a lily kind of plant. I don't know what it's called in English. But anyway, and it was very talkative. It was very communicative.
Yeah,
I was completely surprised. It gave me sigils, it gave me all sorts of things. And you know what it said? Oh, was that the fairy? Maybe the fairy said that, oh, sorry, I can't remember. It was something about giving a hug, opening a portal for the plant to give me a hug. I was in tears almost.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Yes. I'm telling you, I have a very different perspective on plants from, you know, on my four. I have, you know, one in each window that are the same. They're rather big. And, and one time I remember quite some time ago, another plant told me that certain plants that you have in your house that are edible can create nutrients for the person that they're living with, that are specific to that person that needs them, that they're living with in the household. How about that?
That's amazing.
Oh, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, you know, if you have herbs or, you know, things, I don't know how you call it. Yeah, they can synthesize certain nutrients that they don't normally do, but they will do it.
Yeah.
Wow,
if you connect with them, that's great.
Yeah. So I think plant magic and the consciousness behind plants are just so under, how do you say it? Not understood and underestimated.
Yeah.
You know, in general, in the world.
Mm-hmm. we don't see, or maybe we don't always see their value, but hopefully that's changing. I know, I remember Almin talking about like if a traumatic event happens in an area near the plant, that they can, you know, forensic science can get a lot of information from that, from the plant's DNA, because it's, you know, they've witnessed a traumatic event, they're traumatized.
Yeah.
And it's in their DNA.
Yes.
Wow.
It's interesting, isn't it?
It is. Yeah.
There was one of our brothers, I can't remember his name right now, but he made a recording.
Oh, that's Bill. Bill from Ohio, yeah.
Yeah. I haven't seen it or heard it, but I heard about it and Almin talked about it. And he made a recording with some device that he maybe developed or something.
Mm-hmm.
Where he could measure the frequency or the song of the plants.
Yeah.
Then make it audible so you can actually hear it. It was, it was supposed to be really amazing.
Yeah, that was at the men's shamanic retreat. And I remember it was posted somewhere because I did hear it. I don't know if it was on I Am Presence or if it was shared on the diary maybe, or one of the courses, but I know it was... It was shared, and it was like, oh my gosh, fascinating. Or have you heard the audio for the crop circles?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Okay, you can tell. You can tell our listeners about that.
Yeah, I don't know where that audio is though either, but there was.
You think it's on the diary?
Is it on the diary? The BBC had recorded that there was a crop circle being made, and they had recorded, and you can see the ball of light going and creating the crop circle, and the sound of it is like a symphony. It's so amazing. You feel it, really expanded listening to that.
Yeah,
that's very cool. But the same with animals, Malu, I think. Animals communicate with us all the time. I really feel evolving, and, you know, they're like little people without words.
Do you talk with your dog?
Oh my gosh, all the time. Yeah. We do. And, you know, I'll know it. Yeah, like we know what each other needs. If, you know, it's very telepathic.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah, that's what it is.
Mm-hmm. But, and I know you do with your cats. You know, it's fun. It's just, you know, being aware that, you know, there's more to life than just, you know, what we think we see or know. Like, there's so much more.
Oh, yeah. We can't take anything for granted or take, you know, anything at face value. That's for sure. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So, well, Malu, I don't know if there's anything else that we want to share with our brothers and sisters, you know?
Well, I think could you talk a little bit about the abundance event?
Yes, thank you. Kind of forgot about that, but it's actually Tim and myself who normally we had started doing the facilitating the Toronto retreats for Almin in I guess just before the cruise event. We had scheduled because we were facilitating the cruise with Almaine, and of course with all the events that unfolded that got cancelled, but we had planned on doing a one-day event before the cruise that Almaine would come and lecture, and people who weren't going on the cruise could at least experience Almaine that way. But when events got cancelled, we decided to go ahead and just, you know, organize, have the event anyways, and play Almaine's material and just share the day with our life family. And it was such a success, and everybody loved it. And it was, you know, it was fun doing the yogas and all that together. And we did the same on the cruise. And, you know, we just played different meditations and some of Almaine's teachings. And everybody loved it and was involved in asking, you know, if we were doing any more to let them know. And then our event in our retreat with Almaine was supposed to be in April in Toronto. So, you know, Tim and I thought, well, should we try and organize something anyways? And then, you know, just timing back and forth, we kind of missed April. But we decided we'll put it out there and see if people are interested. So that's what we did. And so now we have an event coming up on May 23rd. It's just a one-day event. All the proceeds are going back to Almaine and Spiritual Journeys. And it's an opportunity to come out and, you know, experience Almaine's teachings. We're going to share, you know, the yogas. We do have the theme is on abundance because, and actually I sat with it later and realized, oh, May 23rd, you know, May is 5, 23 is 5, and we're in 2015, which I know is 8, and 8 is abundance. And, of course, 5 is, you know, major changes. Yes. So we figure, maybe on another level, all of us getting together is opening up, you know, massive changes for the flow of abundance for all of us, because, of course, it starts with ourselves, you know, and then filters out to everyone. So it's just an opportunity to come, you know. It's very affordable if people want to bring, you know, their loved ones or their friends. It's, you know, a great opportunity. And we get to hug each other and say hi and, you know, share, hang out. So
yeah, I wish I could come.
Malou, I wish you could come, yeah, too.
That would be wonderful.
It would be amazing. Because, you know, we talked about this earlier, like on the radio show with Joanne as well, how, you know, we miss not seeing each other and,
yeah,
you know, connecting with our life family. It's fun, and we're passionate about Almaine's teachings and all these amazing tools. So, you know, it's just a good excuse to get together and practice them and see each other and,
yeah, exactly.
You know, and then we, you know, hopefully make some money and donate it back to Almaine and Spiritual Journeys. And because really, that's where we're being spiritually fed. So, I mean, I've always connected with the principle of tithing. And, you know, and I know for you and the event you're doing then in for the summer solstice, it's the same, right? We're, you know, mm-hmm, we're...
Yeah, we're going to donate as well.
Yeah, so yeah, we're just...
We're, give back to Almaine and...
Yeah, for, yeah, you know, yeah, she's given a lot to all of us, and it's an opportunity where we get a chance to say thank you and give back and do what we love to do, right? What we're passionate about. So, yeah. So we would love to have you. I wish you could come, Malou. I really do. And I wish I could go to Greece.
Yeah, that would be wonderful.
Oh, I really, yeah, wanted to go. I did. I really did. Next time.
Yeah.
So lots of, you know, good, exciting things coming up. And
yes.
We get to share. So
I think perhaps we're about
yes,
at the end of our show.
We are just about at the end. And again, I just, you know, would like to put out to anybody, if you would like to share your stories, your miracles with Belle Hospital, we would love to have you. We love having guests, right, Malou?
Oh, yes.
We do. We enjoy it. And, you know, again, it's great to hear other people's experiences and passion with Belle Hospital. So please contact us, Denise or Malou. I'm Denise@Almeen.info and Malou is Malou@Almeen.info. So we welcome your feedback, your comments, your sharing. Always happy to hear from you. So with praise, love, gratitude, and trust, until next week, have a magical week. Good night.
Good night.
Good night, Malou.